And now your host, John Friend.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, and this is your host, John Friend. Of course, the website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other radio programs I have appeared on. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. I encourage listeners to subscribe to these fine print publications. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all of the details. All right, with that said, let me introduce our special guest this evening. My good friend and returning guest, Mike Stone, is joining us once again. Mike is an author and a writer whose work is often published at Henry Macau's website, henrymacau.com. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you this evening?
Hi, John. I'm doing fine, and thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, it's good to catch up. It's been a while since you were last on the program. And you've been a guest, I want to say this will be either your third or your fourth time. I can't remember off the top of my head. But listeners can go back in the archives or just search for your name on my website, and they'll be able to pull up some of our previous conversations. We've talked about some of your books that you've published, and I want to kind of start out by just allowing you to kind of introduce yourself. I know you've published independently a few books in the past, which, if I'm not mistaken, are still available from Amazon.com. So you can you just take a minute and kind of introduce yourself and discuss some of the books that you've published over the years?
Sure. I have a number of books. The two primary ones that your listeners might be interested in are a novel called A New America, which takes place on Election Day in 2016 in Los Angeles. It's a dark comedy. And the other is actually was banned by Amazon, and it was a short nonfiction book called It's Okay to Be White. And there was nothing offensive in it. It was just a book about white people and white people's accomplishments. And there was nothing disparaging at all in there about any other race, any other people. It was just a good little book, you know, for people that are white to just have some pride in themselves. And it was banned from Amazon. So that one is no longer available, unfortunately.
Why am I not surprised? Heaven forbid anybody say anything positive about white people in America or anywhere in the Western world at this point. It's one of those topics that you're just not allowed to talk about. You're not allowed to have a pro-white perspective. And Amazon censoring your book is proof positive of that. And we could, you know, prove it a million other ways. But think about that in itself. I mean, I remember I purchased your book. I have the Kindle version, and I read it. And it's basically just sort of a history of the accomplishments and all the great achievements and great things that white people have done historically and even to this current day. So it, again, as you said, it was nothing disparaging, nothing negative was said about any other race. It wasn't putting down anybody or even really criticizing, you know, any other group of people. It was basically a book documenting the achievements and accomplishments of white people historically. And of course, that is something you're not allowed to do in our increasingly anti-white society that we live in.
It's very strange. You know, that's actually, I didn't know this at the time, and, you know, certainly wasn't my intention, but that's actually considered a hate speech now, those four words. It's okay. Actually, it's five words. I think it's okay to be white. If you write that on a piece of paper and I put it on the wall someplace, especially on a college campus or a library or someplace like that, the police will get called. And the FBI will get involved, and they'll investigate it, and they'll try and track down who did it. And I think you could even be arrested for it. And
yes,
it's
a major
totally
scandal.
Not offensive.
Yeah, I know. I've been covering these incidents over the years for American Free Press, and I remember when we first discussed your book, you published it shortly after this meme, "It's Okay to Be White," first started gaining traction across the country, as you mentioned, at various college campuses and in other public places. And it was like this huge scandal, and the media reported on it as if it was, you know, white supremacists and neo-Nazis coming out of the woodwork to take over society and to press, you know, immigrants and blacks and other minorities, when nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, again, it's just a simple statement. It's okay to be white. White people should be proud of who they are and interested in their political advancement, their political interests, their demographic interests in this country that, again, we shouldn't have to remind everybody. I mean, everybody listening knows, but America was a country founded by, and I think you can make a very strong argument for, white people. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it should be celebrated and, elevated, I think, in a healthy society. But unfortunately, we do not live in a healthy society. We live in a very anti-white Jewish supremacist society that demonizes white people and elevates all of these other minorities above whites at this point.
It's very sad. You know, just for the record, I mean, and I think I speak for probably 95% or higher, 98% of white people around the country. We love everybody. We love all the other races. We have no problem with any of them. We just want to be left alone. We just want to be not entirely alone, but we just want to be able to, when we choose to, hang out with our own kind and do our own thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's kind of ironic that as the white majority becomes less and less, in fact, I'm not even sure if we are a majority in this country anymore. We could not be, but if we're not already, we will be soon. The country has deteriorated. The infrastructure has deteriorated, the roads, the bridges, everything. And now with this hoax virus, it's like on steroids. Deteriorating on steroids.
Yeah, no doubt. I've definitely noticed the same things. And it's interesting. I mean, having any sort of positive, pro-white identity or pro-white perspective is immediately denounced as supremacist. And yet, you know, and again, this is a very basic, obvious point to make, but one I think that is very important to ram home and to get people to understand. You know, that this double standard, this does not apply to anybody, to any other group of people. You know, Jews can be proud of being Jewish and, you know, say how much they love Israel and say how much they love the Jewish people and they want to advance and organize politically to advance Jewish political interests. Same with blacks, same with immigrants, same with even illegal immigrants. I mean, there's multiple examples, you know, over the course of the past 10 years or more, of illegal immigrants openly rallying across the country, even in Washington, D.C., you know, like marching down the street, organizing politically, demanding, you know, amnesty, essentially, and citizenship. And, you know, the same applies to homosexuals and any other minority, essentially. But there's this blatant, glaring double standard when it comes to whites. And I think it ties into this weaponization of our historical narrative. And, you know, somehow if you do have a positive pro-white identity, you're immediately derided as some sort of neo-Nazi white supremacist that wants to kill 6 million Jews, right? It all goes back to that narrative. So it's very important to kind of talk about this and kind of break it down. And I think you did a great job with your book, and I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear it, but I'm I'm really not surprised given the levels of censorship we've seen from not only Amazon but YouTube and other social media outlets. I mean, it's almost impossible to say these things online anymore. And if you do, you certainly can't, you know, have a PayPal account or a Stripe account or any other, you know, payment processing system. You know, you could be targeted and fired from your job and ostracized. There's a lot of repercussions that come with saying these, basically, in my mind, just very basic, straightforward, totally rational and legitimate, you know, racial and historical perspectives, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to.
This is an old meme, and I saved this Somebody went on Google and typed in Black Pride and brought up the search results. And the top four search results are Black Pride, Wikipedia. Black Pride is a movement encouraging people to take pride in being black. Second, Asian Pride, Wikipedia. In the United States, Asian Pride is a positive stance to being Asian American. Number three, Gay Pride, Wikipedia. Gay Pride, or LGBT Pride, is the positive stance against discrimination and violence toward lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. And then number four, White Pride, Wikipedia. White Pride is a slogan primarily used by white supremacists, white nationalist, neo-Nazi, and white supremacist organizations to signal their racist viewpoints.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. I know that's a great meme. I think I have it actually saved on my phone. But yeah, it's so true, so spot on. The double standard cannot be more obvious. I mean, it's on display on a daily basis, practically, for anybody paying attention.
You know, what I want to know is do the other racists, you know, fall for this? I mean, some do, you know, but I mean, just the average person, the average Asian person, the average Latino, the average black person. I mean, do they actually, you know, when they hear, you know, it's okay to be white, when they hear that saying, it's okay to be white, do they consider that a racist slogan? I mean, does the average person actually think that? I'm very curious what their reaction would be.
You know, that is a good question. I'm really not sure. I can tell you in my personal experience, most people tend to kind of see, well, at least the people that I, you know, I'm just, again, speaking from personal experience, a lot of people that I know sort of see through these double standards and recognize it. And, you know, they understand, look, you know, John's a white guy. He's going to, you know, have a pro-white perspective, just like, you know, if they're Mexican or black, they're going to have a pro-black or Mexican perspective. So I think it's really sort of like an elite media narrative that, you know, anybody that's in the media is going to be, you know, promoting this idea, and that kind of trickles down. And, you know, most people really don't think too much about it. They just go with what's on TV and sort of go with those sorts of ideas. And of course, it's certainly this sort of anti-white perspective and the, you know, the double standards are taught systematically all throughout, you know, America's educational establishment from the time you're in grade school to the time you're in college. So it's pretty pervasive. But, you know, I think average people, I'd like to think anyways that a lot of them do kind of see through this nonsense.
John, your sentence a second ago when you said most people go with what's on TV, that has to be the understatement of the year.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know what? That kind of is a good segue into why I wanted to bring you back on the program, and that is to discuss the COVID-19 quote-unquote pandemic, which in my mind is certainly not a, you know, public health or medical pandemic. It is an entirely political pandemic, and there's no doubt about that in my mind anymore. And there really wasn't from the beginning. I recognize this as a, you know, largely a media-created, government-created, or manufactured, I guess is a better word, maybe, pandemic. So I wanted to actually start off by talking about, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I got your article up here from henrymacow.com. This was published just a few days ago it was May 19th that you published this latest piece. Mike Stone, instead of mask, wear a dunce's cap. So could you kind of walk us through this, give us an overview of the article and maybe what inspired you to put this together?
Well, I'm so disappointed and let down and disgusted, basically, by people's reaction to this hoax. I call it a hoax. Some people say, well, it's a real virus. But, you know, yeah, it's a real virus. It's a cold virus. And as one of your previous guests, Dr. Lorraine Day, said, you know, the virus doesn't actually cause the disease. When you have a cold or something in your body, toxicity in your body, the virus will come in to clean the body out. So it's not like the virus is causing any disease. But anyway, I you know, when this whole thing went down and I started seeing people with their masks on, I mean, at first I was almost amused. I mean, it looked so stupid to me. I couldn't believe everybody was doing it. But then it went on and on. And then a month or two ago, I don't even remember when it was, feels like we've been doing this forever. The store where I shop at said, I can no longer go in there without a mask. At this time, almost everybody was wearing them. The only ones in the whole store not wearing a mask were myself and the girl that works there, and everybody else had a mask on. So from that point on, if I want to go in there, I have to wear a mask. And my whole neighborhood here is filled with people in masks. And I live around a lot of Asian people, very high IQ people, and they're all wearing masks. And every time I see that, it looks to me like they've got a dunce cap on their head, because I think to myself, what an idiot. I mean, what are you doing? And then I see people in their cars with the windows rolled up, and they're wearing a mask, and they have gloves on. And now I'm seeing these people with these, like, I don't know if it's plastic or glass or plexiglass, these like little shields to come over their face. So they got their mask on, and then they got this thing around their head with a little shield that comes over their face to protect their face. And I'm seeing a lot of that. And the other day I went to the farmer's market, which I've been going to for years. It opens at 8 a.m. I usually get there at 7:30. I get in early, get all my stuff, and get out of there before it gets crowded. They won't let you do that anymore. In fact, I got there at 7:15 last Sunday morning. There were 300 people waiting in line, going all the way down the street and around the block, spaced, 6 feet apart, waiting to get into the stupid farmer's market. Everybody has their mask on. And I was so disgusted that I felt like leaving, but I wanted to get some items. So I got in line with everybody else. And I noticed that on the sidewalk in chalk, somebody had placed a little heart where you're supposed to stand, and all the little hearts they're each 6 feet apart, for your social distancing. And John, it was just the most stupidest, retarded thing in the world. And everybody is buying it. Everybody is buying it. And then you've got the people, just to add insult to injury, you've got these idiot doctors and nurses making these TikTok videos where they're just shoving it right in your face, like you're supposed to be saving lives. First of all, you're supposed to be saving lives. You're not supposed to be dancing on the graves of these people actually are dying. If they really are dying because of this, you're dancing on their grave. You're just mocking you're mocking their death. And second of all, where do they get the time for this? Supposedly they're supposed to be busy helping people and saving lives. Where did they get the time to do these stupid dances? I don't know where this is coming from. And it's not just like one or two. It's like dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds of these stupid videos. There's one that came out, a picture where they're mocking the Last Supper. I think you saw that one.
Yes.
Where a bunch of nurses and doctors. Yeah, they're sitting around a table and just like Jesus and the apostles, all posed the same way with their masks on. It looks completely retarded. You've got everybody pushing for this vaccine, which is going to be basically, injecting yourself with a microchip and who knows what kind of poisons. My family, John, is so stupid. I can't get through to any of them. They all think this is real. They're all panicking like sheep. They run around like chickens with their head cut off. They won't leave the house without their mask. One of my family members owns stock in Disney, Microsoft, McDonald's, and just bought stock in one of these companies that's supposed to be manufacturing a vaccine. This person thinks they're going to get rich because this company's going to make the vaccine and they're going to get a big government contract, and this person's going to make a whole bunch of money off it. And I'm so disgusted. I told them, I said, listen, Microsoft is evil. I mean, they're behind this. They're pushing this whole thing. Disney, I told them some history about Disney and some of the junk they're making. I told them about McDonald's. I told them all this stuff. And it just went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, man. I totally feel you. Go ahead. Finish up, and then I got a few things to say.
I'm just, the reason I wrote the article, I was just so disgusted at the behavior of human beings, and so I just wrote it and I sent it to Henry, and he's a little more he doesn't hold as negative a view as I do of people that have been duped by this. I think he's a little more lenient for them, but I have a low tolerance for stupidity. I've been around it all my life, and I just have a hard time dealing with it these days.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and we were talking before we started recording, how, you know, we've both studied 9/11 pretty extensively, and that was really my sort of big wake-up call. I was already kind of skeptical and critical of what the media and government were saying. I was very much, you know, against all the wars in the Middle East, even before I found out about 9/11. And, you know, I was against the Wall Street bailouts and, you know, the corporate dominance of society, basically. But now it's like, you know, so you can kind of give people a certain pass when it comes to 9/11 or some of these other issues. Maybe they're not looking into it. They're not questioning. They're too busy working or something. But this situation, I mean, this is like directly in your face. You know, you got Bill Gates literally on television telling everybody that in order to go back to normal, everybody has to get a vaccine. I mean, it's just so blatantly in your face. And a lot of these other issues that we've talked about over the years, I think it's pretty clear. It's pretty obvious what their agenda is anymore, as long as you're able to think critically and kind of see through it. But this is just, I mean, they're not even making it a secret. You know, it's not like they're trying to conceal what their agenda is or, you know, disguise it in any way. They're just outright telling you, yeah, things are going to be locked down. We're going to implement all these new regulations. We're going to surveil your every move. You're going to get a vaccine if you want to go to work or go to school, for basically a totally harmless virus that doesn't even really harm many people anyways. And in speaking of that, I saw an article just came out today. The CDC put out a report. Let me see if I can find it. This is technocracy.news. CDC confirms extremely low COVID-19 death rate. So again, I mean, even according to like these official sources, it's no big deal. I mean, it's basically, like you say, a regular flu season where elderly people that have pre-existing medical conditions, people that are sick anyways, you know, they wind up with this flu and you could die. I mean, it's nothing to joke about. It's something to take seriously, but shut down society, lock everybody in their house, you know, shut down certain businesses and churches and other religious organizations while allowing liquor stores and all the pot shops and all these big corporate chains to stay open. I mean, give me a break. There's clearly an agenda behind all this. And it, again, like I say, it's so obvious and in your face. So, I mean, I feel you. I understand. I sympathize with your frustration and your, you know, just getting fed up seeing people go along with this nonsense. And it's the same thing for me. I mean, I went to the store the other day and the store that I go to is, the last time I went shopping, the store that I go to, I actually went to the one in Orange County. And I walked right in there, no mask, nobody said anything to me. There was no security guard at the door, you know, regulating who can come in and who can't. You know, nobody in the store itself said anything to me about wearing a mask. Pretty much everybody in the store, including all of the employees, did have a mask on, but I didn't. There was at least one other person I saw that didn't either. But just yesterday, in fact, I went to the store, the same store, only this time in Los Angeles County. And literally everything is regulated. There's signs. There's a security guard at the front door telling people when they can go in and when they can't, who can come in and who can't. You know, you walk in there, everybody's got to have a mask on. You know, there's little signs everywhere. Like you got to walk this way. You got to line up here. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's degrading. That's the biggest thing with the mask is not only is it ridiculous and unhealthy, but it's degrading. You know, I was Dr. Lorraine Day, I think it was, made the point when I was interviewing her that masks, you know, in the days of slavery, you know, slaves were forced to wear masks. And that's exactly what it is. It's degrading. You feel like a slave. You feel like a total idiot walking around with a mask, especially when it's getting warmer and warmer outside. You know, I put the thing on and I start sweating. I'm uncomfortable. I can barely breathe. You can't talk to anybody. And that it's all by design. It's all designed to degrade us and to treat us like little mindless slaves.
I saw some of those pictures that maybe they came from Dr. Day's website, I don't know, of the slaves wearing their masks. And then next to those were like people today wearing their medical masks.
Yeah.
And they did look very similar.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible. And that's a key aspect of this. I mean, they want to literally regulate every single aspect of society and human interaction in general. I mean, think about it. Think about what they're saying the new normal is going to be. And we'll get into that. I have a few stories that we can talk about to kind of give some insight into what this new normal is going to look like. But I wanted to read something real quick. This is kind of – I was thinking about it the other day, and this is my take on the COVID-19 quote-unquote pandemic in a nutshell. And I put this out on Twitter just the other day, and it's right now – it's my pinned tweet. COVID-19 is not a medical or public health pandemic or crisis. It is an entirely media and government-created political pandemic and crisis that is being used to advance a number of tyrannical agendas central to the New World Order global government system. Elites like Bill Gates, like the Rockefellers, like George Soros, like Henry Kissinger, etc., have been openly discussing for decades. Again, you know, this is no secret. You can quote these people. You can watch videos of them tell you exactly what they want to do, how they're going to do it. I mean, I know in previous podcasts, since this whole scamdemic has unfolded, we've talked about this event 201 and all these other, you know, pandemic simulations that they run and create, and basically all the different scenarios that they enact. And the policies that they're pushing in response, and it's all the same. I mean, it's sort of similar to 9/11. You know, there's all these drills taking place on 9/11, simulating a similar situation, and you know, it's the same thing with this alleged, you know, public health crisis pandemic that they've been talking about. Same exact blueprint, you know, basically.
With 9/11, it was very traumatic. And, you know, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 people died, and then we went to war over it. But, you know, it didn't really affect every American. In fact, if you look at the percentage of people that actually did affect, it was very small. And same with these hoax, all these hoax shootings and these other false flags that have happened since then, you know, various assassinations of people as well. It's affected a very small amount of people, but this is affecting everybody. I mean, worldwide, it's affecting everybody. And I'm just, you know, I'm astounded that people aren't keeping. Yeah, I think it was Dr. Day that said people have no idea what's coming. The horror show that's coming, and people have no idea how bad it's going to be. I was reading today about the contact tracing that they're planning on doing, and I'm sure you've been reading about this. Supposedly they're going to hire, I think, in the state of California, 20,000 people. An army, they call it an army of 20,000 people to start this contact tracing BS, where they're going to start with the people that have tested positive, and they're going to basically force them to list all the people they've had contact with, all the people they've been, you know, within 6 feet of for the last month, or I'm not sure how far long back it's going to go. Then they're going to contact all those people and find out who they've been in contact with, and this is going to be like this spider web, or like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing. It's going to spread out. It's going to be just about everybody in the whole city. And they're going to order people into quarantines. And when they do this, you are going to have to be quarantined in solitary confinement. In other words, if you have children in the home, they can legally take them out of the home. If a roommate, one of you gets booted out, put in a hotel, the other one gets to stay home. And if you disagree with this, they can arrest you. And this is like a precursor to the vaccines that are coming. When those get developed later on down the line, maybe in 6 months, I'm not sure where. People, all these people running around with their masks on, they seem to be completely oblivious to this. It's like they're not even paying attention. You know, like my family, again, getting back to them, their main concern right now is whether or not they can take their annual vacation to Florida, which they do every year. That's what's on their mind. And they're all upset about that. And that's all they talk about. They have no idea what's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, most people don't, it seems like. And, you know, there have been a lot of sort of, I guess, renegade doctors and, you know, medical professionals, people that are not like paid directly by the government or by the media to lie about this fake pandemic. That have come out and really exposed what's going on and explained it in very easy to follow language. I'm thinking about those two doctors in Bakersfield, I think it was, that did that press conference. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did see some highlights of it, and I've read some of the things that they've said online. And I mean, you know, you look at a person like that or a source like that, and clearly what they're saying makes sense and is objectively true. And it's just incredible how voices like that are so systematically silenced. I mean, YouTube came out with a policy where anybody posting videos on YouTube that was, you know, critical or questioning the official narrative coming from the CDC, coming from the World Health Organization, would be censored. So, like, for example, yeah. These doctors in Bakersfield were, you know, their video, their press conference that they gave, censored off YouTube. But there have been a number of other examples. I was reading an article over on News with Views, and this is a really good article. I tweeted it maybe a week ago or so. It's called A Reference Guide to Debunking the Political Flu Pandemic. And it was put together. The author's name is David Usher. And he highlights and basically provides a number of excerpts from a video interview that this guy named Dr. Knut Kowalski, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He is a former head of the Department of Biostatistics, Epidemiology, and Research Design at the Rockefeller University in New York City. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this guy or if you've heard anything about him, but he's basically, you know, a professional, you know, health expert, essentially, that studies epidemiology and the spread of disease and stuff like that. And, you know, he's blown the whistle big time and has exposed the COVID-19 pandemic as being, you know, basically this major fraud. Let me just read you a couple quotes from this interview. And again, this interview that he did was censored off of YouTube. And, you know, he's basically just making some very common sense, straightforward statements, you know, debunking the official narrative of this alleged pandemic. Let's see, some of the quotes he has here. There are no indications that this flu is fundamentally different from any other flu, right? And that makes sense. That's exactly what's going on. The virus could be eliminated in weeks and herd immunity developed quickly if most people were allowed to lead normal lives. Social distancing was employed to prevent hospitals from overflowing, which did not nearly happen. It was not needed then and is not needed now. Everything done to date was a useless precaution. Let's see. There's the whole article is worth reading. He basically debunks everything. And, you know, that's one thing that is particularly frustrating, because at the very beginning when all this was unfolding back in, you know, March, I think the official lockdown happened, or Trump declared it a national emergency, I think. What was it? It was like Friday. I could find it here on the calendar. I think it was Friday, March 13th. And then that weekend, the state of California implemented the quote unquote lockdown, right? Where they wanted all non-essential businesses to close down. So, you know, it's going on well over 2 months at this point. But I mean, back then, you know, they were saying they wanted to shut everything down to make sure that the hospitals aren't, you know, overwhelmed. The medical system itself wasn't overwhelmed. You know, to prevent the transmission of the virus, et cetera. But again, none of that happened. All of the predictions that they've said, all of the forecasting, the models that they've used, all of it has been turned out to be total nonsense. If you remember at the very beginning, I mean, the governor of California, I remember seeing a headline saying, I think it was like 20, literally, he was saying like 20 million people in California were going to have this virus and potentially die. Nothing like that even happened at all. I mean, it's like, you know, a couple thousand people maybe, you know, and we know how they're manipulating the statistics with COVID-19 anyways. So basically, this whole thing is a big nothing burger. It's a common flu, a common flu season. And, you know, they're just, they've basically manufactured this political pandemic to implement all of these tyrannical agendas. It's another aspect of this New World Order system. You know, one, again, that, you know, these elites have been making clear that this is what their plans are. They want to have this sort of scientific dictatorship, forced vaccinations, you know, surveilling every move you make and tracking you, like with this contact tracing. And this gives them the perfect excuse to implement these policies.
John, did you see the Plandemic video with Dr. Mikovits?
You know what? I didn't see the video, but I listened to an interview that she did, which I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the documentary basically like an interview with her?
Yes.
Yeah, so it might have been actually the documentary, but I just listened to it. I didn't watch it. I mean, that again, that was another one that was censored very, very quickly as soon as it was posted online. I'm sure you could probably find some of this stuff on BitChute or you know, maybe other websites and stuff, but you know, the main websites, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and stuff, they've been really going after, you know, all of these documentaries, any of these renegade scientists and doctors speaking out and debunking the nonsense coming from the establishment. I'm assuming you watched it. What were some of your takeaways?
I watched it. I thought it was very informative, but even more striking, I thought, than the video itself was the reaction to it. It was just mercilessly attacked, immediately attacked. And in fact, a website was even taken over and hijacked. And when that happens, you know, immediately, you know, my radar starts going off. Whenever the entire mass media starts attacking something like they do with Pizzagate, like right off the bat, and they're just slamming it and discrediting everybody involved, that's always a sign to me that there's really something there that they don't want people to know about. And, it, you know, whatever it is, it's worth, you know, looking into. Even when Oliver Stone's movie, JFK, came out, which, you know, it wasn't quite, you know, he didn't really, you know, get into it as much as he could have. I mean, he basically, his take was, you know, it wasn't Oswald, it was a conspiracy. We all know that, but he didn't really get into who really was behind it. But still, even that, I don't know if you remember at the time, but newspapers, reporters, articles, and magazine, people that never reviewed a movie in their life were reviewing that movie and just slamming it up and down.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, think about anybody that was questioning the official 9/11 narrative. You know, instantly, you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, you're crazy. It's insulting. I mean, thankfully, the media has lost a lot of credibility over the years. And I think, I'm no fan of President Trump, but I think that he has played an important role in discrediting the media itself. You know, he's been on a tirade, you know, ever since he was elected president and even beforehand, you know, describing the media as fake news and, you know, just really exposing how biased and unobjective that they are, right?
I think that fake news, I think that was actually brought up against him. And then he did kind of a jujitsu move and sort of flipped it back on them and started using it itself. And if there's one thing he's done, you know, with this presidency, it's to illuminate, you know, what he calls the enemy of the people, you know, the whole fake news establishment. I'm just surprised more people haven't had their eyes opened by it. Now, imagine if he had lost and we had had Hillary for these last 3.5 years. I wonder if they would have pushed this pandemic thing a year or two earlier. I wonder what would be going through now. I know it would be much, much worse than it is now. And if he loses to Creepy Joe, it's going to be much, much worse. And it's almost as if, you know, even though as disappointed as I am in Trump, I mean, how can I not vote for him? How can anybody with a brain in their head right now and in November not vote for him based on everything we've seen? We have no choice, you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I've lost faith in any sort of political prospects to rectifying the situation at this point. It's beyond politics. There's no fixing this politically. Now, that doesn't mean I think we should just give up, but you know, I think it's important to educate ourselves and speak out on these issues, but I don't see any real hope with President Trump. In fact, I mean, I think that I think you make a pretty strong case that he's been one of the key people involved in this whole scamdemic from the beginning. He's gone along with all of this, at least by and large. I mean, to a certain extent, he's been critical of different things, and you know, he wants states to be able to open up and whatnot, but he's gone along with this nonsense when he has, and that's like with anything. I mean, he's the one that's the president. He could be leading the charge and really pushing to implement his agenda, but he just lets these people around him and appoints these people around him that are openly hostile to his agenda and takes their advice and goes along with it. So, I mean, to say he's been a disappointment is understating the point, I think.
You know, I've got a take on this, and I wanted to run this by you and get your opinion. My take on this, which I've been thinking about for the last few days, is that it's the elected officials that have got us into this mess, and it's going to have to be the elected officials to get us out of it. Protests are good, but I don't know if they actually accomplish anything other than drawing attention to an issue. I mean, if you look at France, they had those yellow vest people by the tens of thousands protesting every week, maybe even every day, I don't know, for months, and they accomplished nothing. And now those same people, they're all, you know, hiding at home behind their masks, and the whole movement is over, and they didn't do anything. And same in this country, you know, we see the people protesting, you know, the lockdowns here, the lockdowns there, but in most of the Democrat governor states, the lockdowns are still continuing to one degree or another. And it's all, you know, all these things that are happening, it's the governors and the elected officials that are giving the orders to make these things happen. And I think if we're going to change this, we're going to have to reach a critical mass of the people that actually vote. And the good news on that is we don't have to convince everybody on certain issues. Most people don't count. Their opinion doesn't matter. The only opinions we have to really focus on are the people that actually show up and vote, which I don't know if that's 50% or 30% of the population, but it's certainly not 100%. And one of the thoughts that I had was, you know how every election, before the election, you start getting all this stuff in the mail, like various flyers, vote for this person, vote for that person, some from candidates, some not from candidates, some from NGOs. Well, I called the elections office last week. And you can get a list of registered voters for LA for about $145. And they'll give you the whole mailing list, everyone registered to vote. If there was a campaign, if a person, you know, or a group could send out mailings to the people that actually vote and communicate information to those people, then I think we could instigate some changes. The only down part to that plan is that the list is only $145, but to get it, you either have to be a candidate or you can be an organization, but they told me you have to have a good reason for wanting the list. And I asked them, well, is a good reason, you know, to recommend voting for specific candidates? And they said no. So I don't know what kind of an excuse has to be come up with to get that list, or maybe just contact someone that ran previously and has the list, or maybe just run for dog catcher just to get your hands on the damn list. But once you get the list, then you could probably target a mail campaign to these people, which would not, you know, wouldn't be cheap, but you could probably do something bulk rate. But you could prepare some information, not like the usual flyers that go out where it's, you know, vote for me, I'm for jobs and education, you know, but something that actually, you know, speaks to these issues we're experiencing right now. You know, do you want to be locked up or do you want freedom? And anyway, I want to get your take on thinking, you know, along the lines of some kind of an organized campaign targeting the actual people that vote.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I wish, you know, I had the time and money to do something like that. You know, I don't know though. I don't know what clearly there's no easy answers to any of this. I mean, I think that in order for anything to really change, the media has to be totally discredited. And I mean, every aspect of the official mainstream mass media, you know, think about how they're controlling. And see, that's a thing. A lot of times these politicians making these decisions are caught in this media world where they're operating in this fake artificial reality created by the media, right? You know, they can create a mm-hmm. pandemic or create a terrorist attack, an alleged terrorist attack or an alleged mass shooting, and then they have to respond to it as if it's, you know, something that actually really happened when there's a lot of doubts and questions about the official narrative itself. So I don't know. I mean, I think the most important thing or a step in the right direction would be somebody that has wealth and influence in society, whether that's maybe a business leader or, you know, a professor, somebody that's like independent from the system, somebody that's not going to, you know, say something and lose their job and be screwed the rest of their life or make their life very difficult, to get up and start telling the truth about everything. And maybe even running, like running a campaign strictly as like, I mean, if I could do it, if I were, you know, if I had the money or the, you know, the time and energy, you know, to get out and run for office, my campaign would be nothing but, look, I'm being honest. I'm trying to tell the truth about all these issues. Here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. Here's what we need to do. So, I mean, I don't know.
That, Bulwark.
Yeah, that's my take. But you know, again, it's much easier said than done, obviously. I don't know. We're really in a tough spot, man. And like I said, I'm becoming, or I have been convinced for a while now that there's not going to be a political solution to this. It's going to come from a higher power. It's going to be a total spiritual revolution, I think.
Well, that's another point I wanted to bring up. And Dr. Dave brought that up too. You know, we have to get back to God as a nation. I don't know if we're going to make it as a nation, but individually we can certainly do it. And individually, you know, that might be the thing that saves us. I don't know if we ever talked about miracles before, but, you know, there are numerous stories of miraculous supernatural happenings around the world. And, you know, one of the most famous ones happened on Hiroshima. I don't know if you heard this one, but we ever talked about this one, but when the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, there was one house with 16 people in it. They weren't harmed. Everybody else within a mile was killed almost instantly. The others all died of radiation shortly afterwards. But this one house, which was about 8 blocks from where the bomb detonated, none of them were harmed at all. They had like maybe little scratches on their arms. And living in that house were Catholic priests who were saying the rosary every day and living the spirit of Fatima is what they said. And they were unharmed. Nothing happened to them. There's another famous World War II story with Padre Pio, the famous priest in Italy. When the Allied bombers were flying in to bomb the little village where he was a priest, there were numerous pilots, and I believe they testified to this. It's in the congressional record. As they were flying in to bomb this town, they saw a monk up in the air, floating up in the air, waving his arms at them, you know, to turn around not to do it. And they all freaked out and they all went back to the base and they didn't drop their bombs. And the commanding officer said, you know, what the hell happened? Why didn't you drop the bombs? And they all told him, we saw this monk floating up in the air. And so later that weekend, they went down to the town where Padre Pio gave mass, and they all went in there and they said, yeah, that's the guy. That's the one we saw floating up in the air. So, you may be right. It may take it.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible story. No, I mean, I don't doubt stuff like that has happened. And, you know, I am convinced that that's ultimately what this all is going to boil down to. I mean, you look at the political establishment, the media establishment, it is just so corrupt. Everything is lies and deceptions and exaggerations. There's an agenda behind everything. And, you know, again, it's been obvious to people like us that have been awake to some of these issues for a long time, but it's so obvious now. It's like, what is it going to take? You know, and then you ask yourself that, what is it going to take for people to see through this? And, you know, I think a lot of people just are never going to. They're never going to see through this. They're never going to stop and think for themselves. It's too much work. You know, they're not capable of it, maybe, in some cases. You know, they're busy with other things. They're not focused. They're not paying attention. They don't care. And it's sad, but that's the world that we live in. That's the nature of people, I think. And I think the key thing is that we don't have any honest, virtuous political leaders anymore leading the people, guiding the people. They've all either been killed or rooted out, right? I mean, look at, I don't know if we've talked about, but I know I've talked about in previous podcasts, like the whole Jeffrey Epstein situation and this revelation of like this worldwide sexual blackmail operation and how politics is so dirty and everybody's sort of in on it and everybody has dirt on each other. And that's the nature of the system. I mean, in order to be in a position of power and influence in America anymore, like you're involved in that system. You are compromised in one way or the other, and you're going to promote the globalist agenda or you're going to be eliminated. You're going to be taken out.
No, we haven't discussed Epstein before, but it's an interesting topic. I don't think he killed himself. I think he escaped completely, and maybe he's in Israel right now. I'm not sure.
But, yeah, if he's anywhere, he's over in Israel, probably sitting on a beach or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? We've only got a few more minutes left, and I wanted to. I subscribe to the daily headlines from the Los Angeles Times. And, you know, of course, you can't really click on any of the articles because you have to pay to have a subscription, the LA Times and a lot of these other sort of mainstream newspaper these days. You know, you can't even read anything on their website unless you pay them $1 a month or whatever it is. But it is interesting just reading their, you know, the summary and just the headlines and stuff. And this was the leading one today. Let me just read this here. It says, a silent, and this kind of gives you an insight into where they're pushing this COVID-19 scamdemic. And it says here, a silent threat amid reopening. Officials around the U.S. have been reopening public spaces, businesses, and other institutions at a rapid clip over the last several days. In California, as the state nears 100,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, Governor Gavin Newsom has announced that counties can begin to reopen hair salons and barbershops, marking a transition to the third stage of a plan to ease his stay-at-home order. That guidance doesn't yet apply in Los Angeles County, though retail stores and religious institutions can now begin reopening with safety restrictions. Experts say those restrictions, including physical distancing, face masks, and a limit on the number of people in confined spaces, are especially important to follow because of quote-unquote silent spreaders, people who have the virus but do not show symptoms. They could be strolling along a beach. No, get this. They could be strolling along a beach or marching up a hiking trail and look perfectly healthy, but still pass along the virus that causes COVID-19 to others. Even loud talking can emit thousands of saliva droplets per second. Researchers recently found that in a stagnant air environment, droplets of fluid sprayed from the mouth remained in the air for as long as 8 to 14 minutes before drying up. So if anybody thinks that they're going to let down on this COVID-19 hysteria and reopen society, it's not happening, guys. They're going to double down on this. Despite everything that they've predicted and said is being wrong about this alleged pandemic, they're going to double down. You saw Fauci, he recently testified in front of Congress. And of course, he was saying, you know, we need a vaccine. But at the same time, he was saying, look, the vaccine may not work right. It may actually have side effects and harm people. So it's just a mess. I mean, it's all contradictory narratives, contradictory information. But at the end of the day, they do not want a reopening, a return back to normal. They want this technocratic, truly like scientific dictatorship. I mean, I think that's a good way of looking at it. You know, they want this sort of technocracy that is ruled and guided by quote-unquote science and experts, which, again, you know, is basically the scientific dictatorship telling us all what we can do, spying on us and surveilling us and regulating every single aspect of society and basic social interactions. And again, that's what we're seeing, and that's what, from all indications, that's what we're going to get, you know, going forward.
I hate to think of it, but I think you're right. You know, Aaron Russo, who made a movie, I think it was called Freedom to Fascism, you know, he described a conversation he had with one of the Rockefellers where they told him, you know, the end game is to outlaw cash, microchip the entire population, so that you can't buy anything or hold a job without the microchip. And if you give them any trouble and you don't go along with the program, they simply turn off your chip. And it looks like that's where it's headed. And it looks like, you know, like you said, doubling down, it looks like they're pushing their chips to the middle of the table and they're going to go all in on this. And
yeah. And they're not, there's not only articles like that, like I just read, all across the mainstream mass media, They're also saying that the virus is going to come back in the fall and it's going to be even worse, and we can't, you know, we can't let our guard down, and we have to implement these ridiculous, tyrannical, insulting, and degrading social distancing policies and wearing face masks and all this other nonsense. You know, they've basically ruined society. You know, it was already pretty much ruined, but think about it now. I mean, it's 10 times worse. You know, you can't even go to church. You know, even when they do open up church, it's going to be the amount of people coming in is going to be limited. You got to, you know, they're going to ask you to put on your stupid face mask. You know, people got to just say no. You know, I mean, I try to as much as I can, but I mean, if I got to get food and I got to go to the damn store and put on my face mask, I mean, what can you do? You know, it's insulting, and I'm not happy about it. And I always say, make a comment or say something, and you know, to, like the lady that was checking me out the other day when I was at the store, I had all my, I like bring my own bags with me so I don't got to use like plastic ones or whatever. And I had them all in my cart, and she's like, "Oh yeah, did you know we have a new policy? You can act, because before they weren't even letting you bring in your own bags because it might, you know, carry the COVID virus, you know, on your bag, and it's going to get somebody sick or whatever." But she was like, "Oh yeah, you know, I see you have your bags. You can, that's actually allowed now, but you can't put them on the counter anywhere. They have to stay in your basket." So it's like literally everything is like regulated and dictated, you know, how you can, how you're going to go about doing even the most minor, simple, basic tasks. You know what I mean? It's, and I started laughing. I was like, "Oh no, I didn't realize that." You know, this whole thing is absurd, if you ask me. That's what I said to her. And she, I mean, she didn't say anything. I wasn't like making a big deal about it or anything, but I just kind of laughed and was like, "Okay, whatever."
John, but, when it happens, we're going to have to refuse the vaccination, and it's probably going to lead to arrest, and we may get forced to get it. But if you're forced, I think Dr. Day said, if you're forced to get it, you're not volunteering to get it. It's different. I mean, I don't think God's going to hold it against you if you're like physically restrained and then they force you to take the vaccine. I don't think, I hope not anyway.
Versus, which is
I'll sign up. Go ahead and shoot me up. You know, give it to me. That's a whole different story there.
Yeah. Did you see that?
We may end up martyrs, you know.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think, you know, I agree with you. Did you see that clip of Alan Dershowitz being interviewed by Jason Goodman on Crowdsource the Truth? Where he was, I was saying that Alan Dershowitz was being interviewed, and, you know, again, he presents himself as this constitutional scholar, and he's saying, you have no right to refuse a vaccine, and the government has the right to literally strap you down and shove a needle in your vein if they deem it's necessary for, you know, public health and stopping the spread of this virus. I mean, it was insane. I mean, that sort of mindset, that reflects the mindset in the worldview of these elites, like Bill Gates and a lot of these other people controlling society.
Yeah, it's most certainly, they most certainly do not have the right. It looks like they're going to force it in a lot of cases. You know, do you see how Bill Gates, whenever he's talking about pandemics or people dying, he's always like giggling. You know, he's like a little child that kind of giggles and smiles and laughs, you know, with glee almost when people are questioning him about these things.
Yeah, he's a very bizarre individual. And, you know, a lot of people have sort of woken up to his whole role in all of this and, you know, left a bunch of negative comments on his Instagram account and stuff like that. So people are, you know, hopefully more and more people are kind of seeing through this and recognizing his sort of agenda. And you got to ask yourself, you know, they're so quick. And again, it's vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. That's all they're talking about. All the key people. Even Trump, I mean, Trump, again, created this, not only the coronavirus task force, but just announced this Operation Warp Speed, where they're like rushing to develop a vaccine for a virus that, even according to the CDC, kills like 0.25% of people that contract it. You know, it's basically this common cold, common flu-like virus that is essentially harmless unless you're either already sick or in bad health, or maybe you're older and you have other pre-existing health conditions. I mean, again, it's no big deal, really. And yet they're so quick and so adamant that society needs to, you know, accept this vaccine. And Bill Gates is out there saying that literally everybody in the whole world needs to take the vaccine. You know, it's pretty eye-opening. And again, I've been saying this, it's just right in your face. There's no secrets about this. It's not, you know, some conspiracy theory of a bunch of global elites sitting around a conference table, you know, discussing privately what they want to do. No, this guy is on your TV talking to you, saying, look, you're going to get a vaccine. We're going to give it to everybody in the whole world in order to, quote unquote, return to normal. But then again, there's never going to be a return to normal because we're going to have social distancing and face masks and, you know, all this other nonsense, contact tracing and isolation. And I think, you know, they're going to wind up having, you know, a repeated lockdown that's going to be like an intermittent thing, right? You know, they're going to hype, oh, you know, there's people contracting the virus, you know, in the fall, so we got to lock everything down again. You know, people got to just stand up and not put up with this stuff. And I'd like to see more, you know, like private business owners that are potentially being ruined with this, with some of these policies, you know, forcing their place of business that, you know, where they make their money, make their livelihood, just to shut down because some doctor in DC, you know, is hyping and exaggerating all these stats and has lied to us about all of this. I mean, give me a break.
In my neighborhood, a lot of businesses have gone under. And, yeah. You just know that the landlords, the people that actually own the buildings where they lease their space, they haven't stopped collecting rent, but the businesses have stopped taking it. You know, they've been forced to close. So it's going to be it's already is a disaster. It's going to be even worse.
Yes, sir. No doubt about that. Well, Mike, you know what? I wanted to wrap up. We've had a good conversation, covered a lot of ground, and I want to thank you very much for coming on the program. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Do you have any other concluding remarks you'd like to make before we wrap up?
Well, I'd like to thank you for having me, and also for your listeners, I would just re-recommend what Dr. Day said. We have to get close to God as a society. That's probably not going to happen, but individually we can do it. For myself, that means traditional Catholicism, and any other traditional Catholics in your audience, I would say to them, please, you know, do whatever you can. Say your rosary. Stop committing any type of sin that you're committing and really get close to God. It may not save society, but it could save you individually.
Well said. That is very sound advice. I completely endorse it and agree with you. So thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, man. We'll do this again in the next few weeks.
Thanks, John.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
Thanks. You too, man. Take care.